You're talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
All right. We are back. Another edition of Talking with TD. You know what it is. The music's on. So, I am Teron Davenport, and you are now tuned in. And we got a special bonus edition for you. We're going to bring out our regular show like we do every week. But we have a bonus edition. Like I said, this is a sleeper series, and we're going to continue that. We're going to bring in SMU defensive back Jordan Wyatt. And also, we're going to go down to the dirty south. Prairie View A&M edge defender Quentin Bell. It's going to be a good show. As you know, Jordan Wyatt is a guy that, you know, is coming off of injury, and as a junior coming off of injury, and, you know, this past year he continued his excellence, you know, to return back to the field, and he proved himself to be one of the top DBs out there, and no one's really talking about him. So we're going to get him in there on Talking with TD. Quentin Bell, a guy who used to play receiver first year as a defensive end, / edge defender, 7.5 sacks in Prairie View in the SWAC conference. So it's going to be a great show. Be sure to tune in and check it out. We're going to go pay some bills and be right back.
What's up, football fans? Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans reporter and the host of Tackling Music City here. It's the offseason, but as you know, the show must go on. Monday and Wednesdays, we've got the pod. Fridays live from 7 to 9 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking combine, draft, free agency, and more right here on Tackling Music City.
You know I said it.
Yes, Talking with TD, we are back. That song, you know that I say I am better now. One guy that could definitely say that is Jordan Wyatt, SMU DB. I'm going to call him a DB because he plays all over the place. Jordan, what's up, man? How's everything going?
Going good. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, man. And the reason why I picked that song is obviously you could say that you're better now. There was a time when you couldn't play, right, because of the injury.
Right.
But you're back, and you were in full effect last season. You shined at East-West Shrine Week. All-time leader in interception yards. Man, how has everything been with you as far as this past year, you know, getting ready for, you know, to take the next step?
It's been a blessing. It kind of was an up-and-down journey my last year. Obviously coming off two major surgeries, torn labrum and torn ACL. But I'm blessed to be in this situation. Blessed that I was able to participate in the East-West Shrine game and train and go through this process to fulfill my dreams I've dreamt of since I was a little kid.
Now, before both injuries, you know, you were considered a guy who was a top prospect. You know what I mean? And I think you're still considered that to those who, you know, are actually in the know. We'll say it that way. But through that whole injury process, I mean, you look at that 2017 year, man. Two pick sixes, four INTs, 49 tackles, eight pass breakups. You had a sack, too. How did you kind of – what was the key to fighting through that injury? Like, what was the toughest part of your rehab?
The toughest part of my rehab was just missing the offseason and spring ball and not being able to participate in those things and get better with my teammates. But, you know, God never puts us through things that we're not able to overcome. And, you know, I got through the process and it made me mentally tougher. You know, I did have the senior season that I had dreamed of having, but, you know, I've done enough in my career to help make up for my senior year. And, I'm just blessed to be in this situation.
Let's talk about the battles in practice in 17, right? You and Courtland right. Sutton. You know, he has the thing.
Yeah.
He would always say iron sharpens iron. He said that you would be a future high pick. You know, the Titans do face the Broncos, by the way. So if you end up on the Titans, you'll get to see him in live game action. But how were those one-on-ones with Courtland Sutton?
Oh, they were good. You know, going against an NFL talent like Courtland Sutton, always good, especially the close friendship that we had one another. We were able to push each other, bring out the best in each other. We knew where we wanted to go. And we set goals just when we were freshmen. We wanted to be in the NFL, and then we was going to continue to push each other like iron sharp as iron. You know, that was always our motto, to bring out the best in each other and just compete every day.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I'm sure that, you know, that was definitely something to watch. When you look at just you as a team captain, you know, how would you categorize your form of leadership? And just, you know, when Coach Morris had that team meeting and he was like, you know, he wants you to be more vocal. That being considered, how would you categorize yourself? And how did you, you know, kind of take that constructive criticism and allow that to evolve as a leader?
You know, I'm grateful that, you know, Coach Morris told me that because I was usually a guy that always led by example. I know that wasn't enough for my teammates because we're a relatively young team. So I needed to be more vocal. So I just took what he told me to work on and just used it every day in practice. You know, be more vocal, lead by example like I always did, but also let the young guys know how it's supposed to be, how we're supposed to run the program, how we're supposed to be successful. And, that's what I want to bring to my future NFL team. You know, just bring a guy that's very passionate about the game. I'm going to compete and vocal on and off the field because communication is key when you're on the battlefield with your brothers and make sure everybody's on the right page.
100%. And the thing that's always interesting in that type of situation, right, where – someone says, okay, you have to be more vocal. You have to balance that, right? Because if that being more vocal is not authentic, you might as well not even say anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm sure you were able to balance that. So that's a good thing, and that's something that you'll be able to bring going forward. You mentioned just letting your play do the talking as well. So let's talk about your play, like your style of play. One of the things that really stands out is your click and close. Like, I mean, you are very good at undercutting routes. You're very good at playing the football. How did you develop that feel to be able to jump those routes? Even, you know, in times when you're an off man, even in zone coverage.
Yeah. Just my preparation. You know, I always tell everybody I'm a film junkie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always watching film Monday through Friday, even on the game, even on game day. You know, I'm just watching maybe 30 minutes of film, just make sure that all the pointers that I've been pointing out are accurate. And, you know, I just have the confidence in myself because that preparation leads to my confidence. And, you know, I just trust myself to make the plays. You know, I trust my instincts. And I just make plays when they're presented.
What about the ball skills? Because you do a really good job of attacking the football on contested, you know, opportunities.
Right.
You catch the football really well, and that's not always a trait that we see from DBs. Did you ever play receiver, or what kind of went into you being able to develop those skills?
Oh, yeah, I always wanted to be a receiver growing up. you know, when you're a young kid, all you see growing up is just touchdowns, touchdowns. Who's scoring touchdowns? You know, you want to be a part of that too. But I usually catch the balls every day after practice. I catch about 50, 200 balls from my teammates.
All right.
Going from the other guys and just, you know, make sure the hands feel good. Because I used to have a reputation for drop interceptions in high school. And, you know, Mona told you I dropped like 6 interceptions in high school in one season. You know, some people want to believe me, but it's true. So that kind of drove me to continue to get my hands better and make plays on the ball when they're presented. Because, you know, in the college level, when an opportunity presents itself, you got to make the play. So I push myself every day to work on my hands and just make the plays when they happen.
And here's the thing. For you, when you caught the interception, it was a double jeopardy, right? Because you're not only turning the football over, you're scoring with it also.
Right.
So I think that's something that we have to mention. And then just looking at the versatility side of things. You're able to bump inside. You could cover slot receivers. You could play left or right, whereas you have some corners who have to play one side or the other. That versatility that you bring, let's get into just the value of it. And even looking at you, you know, being used on blitzes, we like I said, you had 1.5 sacks. I saw you come off the edge on a blitz. So that versatility of that you bring. How valuable do you feel that is, and how much do you think that will help your draft stock?
I think it helped it a lot. Just showing, you know, the scouts that I'm not just a one-way player. He just can play man. You know, we can't involve him in the run fit. He can't come up and make a tackle. Mm-hmm. I think that helps me tremendously because, like you said on film, you can see me all over the place being able to create plays for my teammates. And, you know, I want to do the same thing for my future NFL team.
I know you like to tackle also. You take that as a mission, as something you have to do. What's behind that? How did you develop just that thirst for making the tackle?
My teammates, the bond I make with my teammates, you know, I lay it all on the line for my teammates. And, you know, if it's time for me to make a tackle, I got to make the tackle. That comes with the mental toughness part of the football. It's a physical game. You know, if you don't learn that through high school, you're probably not going to make it far in college because it's a very physical sport. And you got to be able to make the tackle. If not, you know, the coaches in college are not going to trust you. You know, you're limiting yourself. So I just didn't want to put that limitation on myself and, you know, not be able to be counting on to make a play when I need to.
You have to make yourself invaluable. So that's a good point. When you look at – and one of the things I always appreciate about prospects is when you guys have an understanding for history. So with history – what was behind you wearing number 23?
All right, so at SMU, the first black athlete or African-American athlete named Jerry Levis, SMU, majority Caucasian school, and he took the risk. He was risking his own life to play football for SMU. You know, he was getting death threats and, you know, he was getting – hateful comments during the game, even from his own teammates, you know, that just because he was different, you know, he wasn't going to make it along at SMU. And, you know, he wanted to change, and he was an All-American. He did everything he could. He changed SMU forever because of his braveryness. And it was just remarkable. Like, when you watch the video, just him, or what all he went through, I mean, I remember there was one game he was playing against Arkansas, I think, and someone spit in his face from the opposite team. And they called him the racist word. And a couple plays later, he scored on a punt return for a touchdown. And he said that was probably the worst touchdown he ever had because he did it out of hatred, not for the love of the game. And that just signifies who he is. He's a great dude. I've had the opportunity to talk to him for a little bit, and he's an amazing guy.
That's a cool story, man. That's definitely a cool story. So growing up, who were some of the guys, since we're talking about history, who were some of the guys you watched? Did you have a favorite team, favorite player?
Oh, yeah. My favorite player of all time was Charles Woodson. Because of his versatility and the way he's able to play free safety, corner, nickel. And, you know, he always turns the ball over, force fumbles. He scores touchdowns. I think he has an NFL record for most touchdowns. So that kind of influenced me a little bit. And Tyrann Mathieu was a recent guy that I looked up to. You know, when we were at LSU, he was a playmaker. And I remember I wanted to make the same impact that he made. So that kind of pushed me a little bit to force fumbles and get picks and create scores. For the defense, because watching those guys, you know, inspired me a lot.
I like that. Now, did you grow up a Cowboys fan, or, you know, in the Texas area, who did you root for?
Yeah, I grew up a Cowboys fan until they kept losing. You know, they kind of hurt my heart growing up as a little kid. But I think my last game as a Cowboys fan was the Tony Romo incident versus Seattle, and you know, that kind of just shattered me. So, you know, I've just been going off players like Patrick Peterson. I just love watching players that I admire and I want to model my game after.
Nice, nice. So where are you training right now? Are you training at Exos?
Yes, I'm training at Exos in Frisco, Texas with Brett Callaway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was kind of a loaded question. I know you're trading with Brett. That's my guy, man. Well, what's that's my man. Tell next when you talk to him, tell him you were talking with TD. He's going to smile real big, man. That's my man. I go back to him back when he was training Jason Verrett and Brandon Cooks in Carlsbad, San Diego. You know what I mean? So we're talking back to 14, 15, whatever year that was. So, yeah, you're definitely working with the best. What has been some of the things you've been able to pull from just being there at Exos, diet-wise and just training-wise? How has that been for you?
It's been great. Obviously, you know, this is the most important interview of my life. So Brett been giving us the blueprints of how to properly eat and take care of your body and the proper techniques to be successful in these drills for pro day. And, you know, I call him the miniature guru because, I mean, he's done a great job. You know, you see his resume and the athletes that he's trained, they always perform at a high level. So it's been a great experience. He's a fun dude to be around. It's a great atmosphere to be around. It's just a training facility that you would want to be at.
Yeah, and Brett's a cool dude, too. Who are some of the guys that are there with you that are working out?
We had Dakota Allen from Texas Tech.
Okay.
Devin White, Montez Sweat. Ed Oliver just came over. Brian Peavy, Zach Gentry. Guys all over the place from different programs.
And nice.
It's just great to be around those guys and have fun and work towards the common goal.
Yeah, man, you got a little squad down there, man. Squad of ballers. That's good stuff. I got to ask you because you're in the Texas area. Did you happen to wander over to Whataburger?
Oh, no, not yet. Hey, there's no when it's time to go over there, I will be over at Whataburger. Everybody know that's my place.
Yeah, man.
I told you that.
Hey, listen, man. Look, the internet is a beautiful thing, brother.
Hey, man. I don't know who out there telling my secrets about water, but yeah, I've been staying away from it.
That's good stuff, man. What are you measuring in at?
6 foot, around 194.
Okay, so you're right there where you've been, and you're cruising right there.
Right.
When is pro day?
Pro day is March 28th, so next Thursday.
Okay, and then you're going to run. You're going to do everything there. What's that agenda look like?
Yeah, sir. So we'll lift and broad jump and do vertical jump first, and then we'll start with the 40 and the three-cone drill and the L drill. So all the other good stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it, ready to get to work and put up the numbers that, you know, will help me for the draft.
Yeah, man. It's good talking to you. I appreciate you coming on. And I tell you, it's really interesting the way you're kind of floating under the radar because you do stuff that coaches want, right? You turn the football over. You score with it. You play the ball very well. You have like, here in Nashville, right? So it's the Titans. One of the things I always say about Kevin Byard, a guy who I feel is the best safety in the NFL, I say he has a built-in GPS for the ball. And that's something that I see with you as far as playing the football and even being able to generate those turnovers, the forced fumbles. I think that's really good. So keep that up, man. Your game definitely transfers to the next level. So I'll be sure to circle back with you, man. I wish you the best at Pro Day and everything.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. Jordan Wyatt, SMU DB. We're going to go to a commercial and we'll be right back.
Hey, baseball fans, I'm Ryan Porth.
And I'm Calvin Smith.
Tune in to our brand new Home Plate podcast every Friday at thegamenashville.com all season long.
We'll have unique interviews with the Nashville flavor and hit on the latest topics in the baseball world.
That's the Home Plate podcast at thegamenashville.com.
That's right. We are back talking with TD. The Sleeper Edition continues, and this is a song that's fitting for a Sleeper Edition. This is a guy I'm sure a lot of just common fans haven't seen, but I've seen him, and he has seven and a half sacks, I believe it was, this past year. Prairie View A&M edge defender, Quentin Bell. Quentin, how's it going, man?
Going good, man. Going good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on. I want to make sure I had that right. It was seven and a half sacks or was it eight?
Yes, sir, 7.5.
Okay. I didn't want to cheat you out of any stats. You know what I mean?
Because
you got your box score scouts, and they make sure that they're looking at that stuff. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. And just right from the top, man, your wingman, you know, he told me that he thinks really highly of your family. So he said to make sure I ask you about that and just some of the things that, you know, your parents had you guys doing from a competitive sports side of things. So let's talk about it. I know your brother, he plays at Arizona. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. U of A. So he's a sophomore up there.
Nice, nice. So I'm sure with him playing there, you playing at Prairie View, I mean, we're talking about competitive college sports. It had to be a competitive situation growing up with the two of you guys. So let's get into that. How were your parents able to push you guys competitively and, you know, get you involved in a lot of things?
Man, well, just remember from being a little kid, man, just, you know, they kind of let us kind of choose what we wanted to do. You know, we had, you know, years we played basketball, baseball, you know, football. We kind of did it all, you know what I'm saying? Really from an early age, you know, kind of like the normal kind of sports weren't really a thing for us, you know. I used to race dirt bikes, you know, growing up and race motocross. And I started out when I was 9 years old up until I was about, you know, 14, 15. You know, we used to do stuff like that. We used to go snowboarding, you know what I'm saying, go wakeboarding, you know what I'm saying, on the lake, on our boat, things like that, man. So, really, man, we just have been into a lot of extreme sports growing up. And kind of when high school rolled around, you know, and we started talking about college and things like that, man, we were like, okay, well, you know, now let's kind of, you know, ease into these, you know, into these sports and get me, you know, get my college paid for. And so, you know, we, my little brother actually really started playing football. I think when he was around sixth, seventh grade, and I kind of really started playing actual, like, organized type of football. And I kind of got to, I want to say my sophomore year of high school. I was at Long Beach College. And kind of started there, you know what I'm saying, and eased my way in and learned a few things. And really, you know, football's running my family. You know, my uncle played for the Raiders back in the day. My dad had a shot at the pros back in his day. So, you know, football's always been there as kind of a cushion to say, you know, I could always play football whenever it was my time, you know what I'm saying. And so in high school, rolled around, it was my time for that. And after that sophomore year, I ended up transferring to Costa Mesa High School. Actually, my uncle was actually coaching that at the time. And that's when I really got my shine in high school. Started on both sides of the ball, played receiver, played DB linebacker. And just all of high school, man, really just sports was just pushing me. And I had my family behind me, man. I ran track in high school, played basketball as well. You know, broke a few records on the track at my school. And my senior year, I finished third in state, you know, in 100 meters. You know, really just kind of an all-sport kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, my parents definitely played a huge part in just, you know, pushing us and everything we did, supporting us, you know, not force us to do anything. So everything that we did, you know, like what we wanted to do, you know what I'm saying? And they make sure they support us every step of the way.
That's what's up, man. Long Beach Poly, you guys used to wear, was it green and gold, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know how I remember those colors, Quentin? Man, I'm going to be honest with you, right? We're going to get a little personal right here because let me tell you something. Right. I didn't like Long Beach Poly, man. I remember those colors because y'all used to come to the Penn Relays and y'all used to do the thing, man. You know what I mean? And all of us schools on the East Coast here, you know, they would have the Relay of America, and you guys – and John Muir High School, I think it was. You guys would always, because John Muir had this dude named Obie Moore, and he was a beast. And you guys just, your whole team, man. So, you know, I should probably cut this interview, man, because I don't want to get personal.
I mean, look, I was only there for my first 2 years, man. My second 2 years, I had a chance to die there. So,
yeah, man. It's all good. I'm messing with you. But I like that you mentioned you played multiple sports. I think cross training is really important because a lot of, times you know, you could take things from one sport and transfer it to the other, and it really will help you as an athlete. You become just a more athletic guy from doing so many things. What are some of the things you're able to pull from the other sports that you've done and force that, you know, into, merge that into yourself as a football player?
Well, I think, you know, just right off the bat, you know, speed, track and field. You know, ever since I stepped on the track, you know, I've been one of the top guys, my B top guy, every single week. So, just you know, playing receiver in high school, playing receiver in college, you know, the first speed is one of the main things on the football field. You know, and so I was able to take that track speed and put it into my routes. And even when I switched to defense, you know what I'm saying, I, you know, put it into my pass rushing and my coverage and, you know, and making tackles, you know what I'm saying. Speed is definitely the biggest thing. And then, you know, obviously with global track and field and with, you know, playing basketball, you know, it's explosion, you know what I'm saying, being able to explode, being able to, you know, be explosive on the field and, you know, make plays. You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, those two sports definitely, you know, correlate a lot to the football field. And I'm glad that, you know, I got a chance to experience them both.
And I know playing both of those sports, that kind of had your, kind of went into your decision to go to Prairie View. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When it was time to, you know, make the decision to go there, you know, one of the big perks for me was that I was going to be able to run track as well as play football. So that definitely got me on board with, you know, signing there and going there, you know, to further my college career.
Now, were there other schools that, I mean, sure you had other options. So what were some of the other options for you as far as playing in college football, that is?
Yeah, well, I got a really, really unique story, man. And after high school, you know, I kind of took a year off of football, and I said, I'm running track. I'm going to be a track guy. You know what I'm saying? I was ready to give football up, actually. And I wound up doing a semester at Riverside City College in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that first track season, man, I had I think, Cal State Fullerton track offer. I had, you know, Prairie View. Obviously, I had that offer for both. And, you know, and I had a lot of other schools that basically were kind of telling me, you know, we want you to come here and run for us, but we need you to do it, you know, another year. At Riverside, at the time, you know, just I didn't really want to do another year. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be kind of one and done kind of thing. And I actually wasn't expecting that call from Prairie View, to be honest. You know, it was kind of a random kind of call. You know, at the track practice one day, I got a call from the head coach and told me he saw my film. And, you know, as soon as he said my football film, you know, I immediately wanted to play football again. You know what I'm saying? I started missing it, and I took that a visit. And I fell in love with the campus and everything that was going on. And obviously, you know, like I said, I had the perk of being able to do both sports. So, you know, it really helped that decision.
That's interesting because you had the choice, right? Like you could choose between track and football. You could have done that. You decided to choose both because football was important enough for you to make sure that was in the equation. So let me ask you, what is it that you love football so much? What made you want to make sure that was a part of the equation for you at the next level?
Oh, man, well, just, you know, first things first, you know, like I said, it runs in my family, man. My uncle played professionally, you know, for a couple of years back in the 90s and, you know, watching his games and watching him play, you know what I'm saying? And then just playing football, man, it just doesn't, like, you know what I'm saying? I've been successful at, you know, at a lot of different sports, man, but being successful on the football field, man, and making plays and winning games and winning championships, man, there's nothing like it. You know what I'm saying? It's a physical, very physical sport, and I'm a very physical guy, and, you know. It's hard to put into words, man. It's just nothing like being on the football field, hitting somebody, winning the game, working hard in the offseason, and, you know, coming out with a victory, man. So I hadn't felt that in a whole year after high school, you know, and when the opportunity presented itself, you know, I wanted to feel it again. I wanted to feel that success and that feeling of being back on the football field.
Without a doubt. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm 42 years old, man. I graduated from college in 2001, but I will tell you that even at 42 years old, I still sometimes have dreams about still playing ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's something that just – once you do it, it just never comes out of your system, man. So you're 100% right. Now, your perspective is kind of interesting because, like, I played receiver in college, okay? And I couldn't imagine having to convert. Now, I mean, you're 6'4", 220, or wherever weight you're at now. I was 6 feet at that time, 192. So I would have had no business playing defensive end. You know what I mean? So you making that convert, like, you got to experience scoring touchdowns, like your touchdown against Rice that I saw that you talked about. You got to do those type of things, but then you converted to the other side of the ball, and here you are sacking the quarterback. So you experienced both sides of things. What was the big thing about that transition? Like, how were you able to convert and have a seamless transition to find the success that you did this past season as a defensive end, having been a former receiver?
Right, man. And that's kind of the question that everybody wants to know. You know, it was kind of a real big switch. And just where I was mentally at the time, man, I played receiver with my freshman through junior year. You know, and my success, in my opinion, was very minimal. You know, I didn't feel like that. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't in a good place mentally at being a receiver, you know? And so going into my fourth year, I knew that I needed a change in something. I didn't know it was going to be a position change. I didn't know if I needed a new coach. I didn't know what it was. You know, I just knew that, man, where I'm at mentally with the game right now is not where I want to be. And so I got the message that we would get a whole new coaching staff, and the whole new staff came in and introduced themselves, and, you know, that spring ball is getting ready to start. And they had me at receiver still. I was starting receiver, and I really liked the receiver coach and the OC, and everything was going pretty good, man. But just I still felt like, you know, I needed a change. And so one day I wake up, and the D-line coach and the safeties coach called me in. They're like, hey, man, how you feel about, you know, pass rushing, playing defensive end? And when I first heard it, I was like, man, what? You know, I'm an outside receiver. I'm not trying to go in the trenches. You know what I'm saying? I've never been that, you know. But then I kind of went in there and met with some guys and sat me down and kind of really explained it to me, you know. And I said, you know, I went home and I prayed about it. And I said, you know, maybe this is the change that I've been praying for. You know what I'm saying? And so I went ahead and I did it, man. And I can remember the first day of spring. I went out there and I had the defensive color jersey on. And, you know, all the guys on my team kind of like, what? Like, he's on defense now? What's going on? And I was like, yeah, man, you know, this is kind of what I'm doing now. So I just needed a change, man, you know, and I prayed on it, you know, and I feel like that opportunity was that, and it presented itself. So, you know, I took it on, you know.
What are you weighing in at now? Because playing weight was what, in the 220s? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, so I probably played around 235.
So oh, wow, season. Okay.
Right now I'm 240 pounds.
6'4", 240.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
How's the movement? Like, were you able to – it's a loaded question. How were you able to maintain the movement? I know you're going to say the movement's good. So how let's progress, you know. How were you able to maintain the movement, you know, despite the weight gain?
Right. I mean, I just worked hard, man. You know, I worked hard. That was kind of one of my I wouldn't say fears, but I worried about it at first because my coach was like, look, man, you're 215, 220 pounds right now. We want you to be at 240.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, man, you know, am I going to be slow? And so, but I took it head on, man. And that summer, you know, I put on 20 pounds that summer. And I just worked hard in the weight room on the field. And when it was all said and done, I felt just as fast as I felt when I was at receiver. You know, I felt like I didn't lose any speed. I felt like, if anything, I gained more power, more strength, you know, and I was just as fast as I was when I was running go routes, you know, so.
Yeah, and being able to take that speed and use it on your get-off, you know, getting off the ball, that's something I saw. There were some times, you know, and watching you, there were some times I saw you come out of that, you know, standing up as an edge defender. And, you know, the tackle there wasn't really much he could do. You know what I mean? Because he right. couldn't get back in his drop in time to catch up to your speed. But at the next level, you're going to have guys that are able to do that. So let's talk about converting that speed to power, right? And being able to use that leverage and get them to turn that way and using that club and swim to go inside when you need to. How are your pass rushing moves, you know, developing as far as to play off of your ability to get off that edge so well?
Right, man. That's great, great question right there. And that's a lot of conversations that we're having, you know, with my trainer up here, Brandon Tucker, my pass rush trainer up here and up at APEC, man. And we're just, like I said, we've been working on my power and leg strength and everything like that to get me ready for it. Like you just said, you know, straight speed is not gonna work, you know, at the next level. You know, you gotta mix up your game a lot. So just, you know, watching guys like Von Miller, Khalil Mack, you know, mm-hmm. Big Easy, those kind of guys where they're not, you know, super big guys, but they have a combination of speed and power, you know, using, you know, inside stab moves, spin moves, you know, cross chop and things like that, man. Just all those kind of things I'm kinda implementing in my game.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all those things I'm kinda implementing in my game, you know what I'm saying? Mainly, you know, I really do like the inside stab and the cross chop, man, and really trying to perfect my spin move as well, you know what I'm saying? And then, obviously, you know, bull rush is always kind of a thing that you can use. So, yeah, I've been with my pass rush trainer a lot. He's definitely been getting me right, you know, as far as, like, helping me add moves and mixing up my game, so.
That's good stuff, and even working on the hands. And you mentioned Vic Beasley. I tell you, funny story. I talked to him, and I asked him about, you know, if he was doing any boxing or any martial arts. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, my man, that's how you develop really good hands. You know what I'm saying? And sure enough, he ended up working with a pass rush coach. You know, they used to play in the league. And what did they do? Put boxing gloves on. So it's funny, you know, how guys look at different things to get themselves better. When you look at just playing in the SWAC conference, right? There's so much history, right? Jerry Rice, Walter Payton. I'm in Nashville, so I got to mention Steve McNair. You know, you play for Prairie View A&M. So we got to mention Ken Houston. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's so much history in that conference. What's your pride level? Like, what do you take pride in the most as far as playing in that conference and, you know, being more than just a conference that's known for the Battle of the Bands? You feel me?
Right. I really take pride in being an underdog, man. You know, I feel like I've been an underdog my whole life. And I feel like, you know, come out of the like you said, there's so much history, man, that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of people don't know about the guy that you just named. You know, there's a lot of greats and a lot of Hall of Famers and a lot of guys that, you know, played in the National Football League. You know, a lot of guys playing in the National Football League right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From the swag, man. Just my pride level right now, man, is just, you know, just putting on for the swag. You know what I'm saying? Putting on for Prairie View A&M. You know, showing the world that, hey, you know, athletes come from this conference. You know what I'm saying? And we're not just here, like you said, just known for Battle of the Bands and things like that, man. No, we play football, you know? We play football, man, and we play it really well. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just looking forward to just being able just to showcase my talent to these scouts coming up and just, you know, showing them, like, you know, name the school doesn't matter, man. You know, it's about the athletes at that school and how hard they work.
Right, know? Right. If you could play, you could play. You know, whether it's like this team, the Titans, right? They just signed Cameron Wake. And one of the things he said was ball is ball. You know, whether you're playing it on the moon or wherever, ball is ball. And that's so true, man. If you could play the game, you could play the game. That's what it boils down to.
Right.
You're a Cali guy, right? And
yes,
you go to school in Texas. So the burning question is this. What's better? In-N-Out or Whataburger? You know, let's talk about what really matters, man.
Oh man. That's a good one, man. I get asked that all the time. So my honest opinion, Whataburger's menu is obviously a lot more diverse. They have a lot more things on the menu. Chicken nuggets and patty melts and all these kind of things. But if you're talking about burgers, In-N-Out's burgers are 10 times better. 10 times better. The fries, the meat In-N-Out's fries, 10 times better. Then you get the things like, you know, chicken bites and honey butter chicken biscuits, you know what I'm saying? Things that In-N-Out doesn't have. So I really feel like they're kind of a hard comparison. But if I had to choose one, I guess I'm a Cali guy. I'm going to choose In-N-Out over Whataburger any day.
That's
just me personally.
You're smart. You made sure that you didn't burn a bridge to Texas or to California. You're a smart guy. I got family in Inglewood. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I go there, they always say, "Hey, cuz, you gotta get your burger animal style." Is that what you do?
Yeah, it's animal style basis. Everything on the burger, you know, lettuce, tomatoes, spread, sauce, you know, onions, the whole thing. And you know, if you want to get a burger, you gotta get it right. So you know,
I can't.
Style is the way to go.
I can't tell you the level of stomachache I got from eating that, but it was good. So you know, you gotta pay the price. What's next for you, Quentin? When's the pro day? What's next as far as between now and the end of April when it's time to move on to the next level?
Yeah. So my pro day is March 25th, coming up this Monday.
Okay.
In just a couple of days. So you know, I have that, and you know, it's really looking. I've been training for that in this last 3 months. So just looking to just go out there on Monday and, you know, put together everything I've been working on. And, you know, after that, you know, really just, you know, just sitting by the phone, man, you know, I feel very confident, you know, about what I'm going to do on my pro day. And I know I'm going to test well and everything. And I really, just, you know, I'm really, you know, looking forward to, you know, everyone who's coming, you know, to really get a chance to see me in person and really see, you know, what I can do, how I can move and things like that. You know, I really feel bad for and who's not going to be there, man, because I promise I'm going to, you know, put on a show for those guys. And so just from there, just, you know, sitting by the phone, you know, I got a really great agent, man, with a great agency. I know they're going to take care of me and get me to where I need to be, you know, in the month of April. And you know, obviously the draft is at the end of April. So, you know, just that whole month, man, just staying prepared, staying ready, you know, staying by the phone.
March 25th, be there or be square. That's a message to the personnel, folks. I know you got the suitcase ready, passport or ID in hand, and you're ready to roll wherever you need to go, man. I wish you the best, man. I appreciate you coming on, and let's keep in touch, man. I want to, you know, see how this process works for you. It's going to be interesting just seeing how everything evolves. And, man, you bring a lot coming off that edge. So hopefully you'll land in the right place and they'll be able to maximize that talent.
Yes, sir. I really do hope so, man. I'm going to be honored to play. You know, any 32 team, man, you know, be honored to step on the field and really just getting past again, man. That's all I'm worried about right now. So,
all right, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. We are back. Man, that was a great show. We had a couple of under-the-radar prospects. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Quentin Bell from Prairie View A&M is able to do, man. What a switch. Wide receiver to defensive end slash outside linebacker. He seemed to have a pretty good understanding of just how he's going to continue to evolve as a player. Jordan Wyatt, SMU DB. Click and close, ball hawking player. Man, this was a good sleeper edition. I'm glad we were able to talk shop with these guys. I am Teron Davenport. The music means it is time to go. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, continue to listen, continue to support thegamenashville.com. We will be back with more and more prospects. Till next time. Adios.